Hello.
Hi.
My name is Maya.
My name is Sydney. I didn't know we were doing this back and forth.
Sydney, we haven't talked about it a lot. How do you feel about the live-action Avatar The Last Airbender?
I've not watched it. Okay, so the animated show's great. I had a great time with it, obviously. I wrote, my first, published fan fiction about it just because there was a character that I hated. And yeah, I thought it was a great piece of media. And then when I heard that they did they were doing the live action one, mm-hmm. I started getting bad feelings when I learned that the original writers left the project. And then I felt a little bit better about it when I saw the casting. And then I had bad feelings again when they were we're removing the sexism. Cause it was a bit, you have to grow somehow. So I don't know. I've watched a handful of videos, YouTube videos, about, the people who like it versus people who don't like it, people who think it's a garbage fire, people versus people being I don't know, guys, I had, a good time with it.
I mean, I don't think you necessarily need the childhood nostalgia sure. to be yikes.
Yeah.
They kind of messed up. I mean, and I can only say that as someone who has seen the animated show.
Right.
I don't know, coming from a perspective of, I know nothing about Avatar The Last
sure.
Airbender. I'll just watch the live action one.
Sure.
Because I feel like the same kind of thing happened with the One Piece live action.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with the One Piece live action was, people were oh, they followed the story pretty much one for one. They just cut out a lot of,
sure.
the middleman,
yeah.
What is it? The filler
yeah.
stuff.
Which is great because One Piece has so much of filler.
Right. And which was awesome. And for me, it was I'd never seen the animated
mm-hmm.
show, but I did enjoy the live action. And
yeah.
when I talked to people that had seen both, they were oh, I still the animated, but
yeah.
they've been watching it for a really long time. And
yeah.
They had the childhood aspect. In terms of Avatar The Last Airbender, I also didn't watch it until I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things that I had seen some episodes growing up, but my media literacy was not there. So for me, I was whoa, pretty colors and moving objects.
Right.
That's so cool. And I never understood what the story was.
Sure.
Or I would catch episodes that were in the middle of an arc.
Mm-hmm.
And I was I have no idea what the fuck is going on right,
right.
now.
Right. It definitely was different. My sister, my younger sister.
You only have a younger sister?
Well, I just want to. She's younger than me. I just want to put context to the situation. She's younger than me. Was watching it as it was coming out.
Oh, I see.
And she was the age of Aang. She always says this to me. So she was 12 when the show was coming out. And so she had the biggest crush on Aang because she was we're the same age.
That's valid.
And she caught up on them every single week. She watched them. And I don't know, even though she has sung their praises for her entire life, I just never watched them. I just never got around to watching them. But when I eventually did, I was yeah. But again, it was coming from the point of a college student and, not the age demographic on Nickelodeon where they wanted them to
right.
watch it. But I mean, I think it's great for even someone who was 20 to still be that was pretty fucking good.
Right. And I had the same experience where when I watched it, it was at, during COVID and
yeah.
a lot of friends had seen it when they were younger. And so it was kind of anytime I told people I hadn't seen it, they're you've never seen Avatar The Last
yeah.
Airbender? And I was I felt judged by that. So it was okay, I guess I'll watch it. And I did really like it. And I will say, this is where it gets controversial. I did like Korra.
Okay.
A lot of people had their qualms with Korra, and
mm-hmm.
I understand that, and I understand why a lot of people don't like it as much as Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
I still enjoyed it, and
uh-huh.
I was watching it from the lens of, this is a kid show.
mm-hmm.
This is a kid show that was on Nickelodeon during a time where they were testing a lot of things out.
Yeah.
And a lot of things still weren't allowed, and a lot of executives are telling them no.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from the standpoint of, they didn't know if they were going to get another season, so they were just pumping out one season content
yeah.
at a time, which unfortunately is the lifespan of a lot of shows.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of shows do that even today, where it's they can't plan anything
right.
in advance, which is very tough, just with the sheer amount of content that is out today. I still really liked Korra. I
mm-hmm.
won't say that I like it as much as I like Avatar The Last Airbender, but
yeah.
I liked it for what it was, and I liked it for the world building that it gave us, especially
right.
in terms of the spirit realm and that kind of stuff, because
yeah.
we didn't get that in Avatar The Last Airbender.
No, I currently feel indifferent about Korra.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I didn't like it, but I also didn't hate it. Since we are the seasons were very different, I liked the first season a lot, and to me it was that kind of, especially
right.
watching it as I was older and not as it was coming out and,
yeah.
waiting for the next season or whatever, watching it in succession like that. Yeah, my main flaw was that the seasons didn't feel connected because they weren't, and they weren't allowed to, which is not a fault of the creative team, which is on the studio instead, Nickelodeon as a whole. But yeah, that was like my biggest qualm, because the first season I thought was really great, and then like none of those kind of plot lines were carried into the next season, because I always thought when it came to like that first season with like benders versus non-benders and like the rights and everything, I was like, that's so cool, and then it was just like never brought up again, and I still feel jilted about it to this day. But like, again, I just feel indifferent about it. I don't like it, I don't hate it, like it's just whatever.
I think that's valid.
Yeah,
I've definitely talked to a lot of people that are like, I fucking hate Korra, and it's like, okay, I can understand that. I am taking it for what it is, and what they gave us, which was, again, more world building, and that's kind of what that show was. It was, for me, less about the characters and more about, like, oh, this is how they advanced in society. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is how they're, like, moving on, moving forward, especially with technology and, like, the spirit realm and, like, that kind of stuff, which was very cool. And I am excited about the movie, I think. Avatar Studio is producing, that's supposed to come out next year.
I've heard about it a little, but like not.
It's supposed to be about Aang and the gang when they're a little bit older.
Yes.
So
I've heard. I've got to be honest with you, girl. I've heard so many things. I've heard a television show that's supposed to be about like when they're in their roundabout 20s. I've heard there's gonna be like several movies. One's based on like the Earthbender Avatar that's like right before Aang, and like one's about Zuko.
Yeah, and then so like, many of them get canceled.
I know.
And stuff,
I've heard so many things, and I don't keep up on them that I'm just like, I've heard a lot of things. I don't know if that's actually gonna happen.
Yeah, just in terms of like, I remember after the Netflix show came out, pretty immediate after that, Avatar Studio, who originally animated the animated show and Korra, we're like, oh, we're gonna put out a movie, and it's gonna be about Aang and Katara and the
Sokka and Zuko and Toph,
them as adults,
yes,
not with children, but them as adults, like adventuring. So we'll see. It is one of those things that like a bunch of people have different comments about, like where they went in their lives, and I think this movie is meant to explain like, this is what happened to them as adults, and this is why they turned out the way that they did when you watch Korra,
right?
Which I can accept, because like they are preteens in Avatar the Last Airbender, which is
one
still,
is actually still a child. Yeah, that's not even a preteen,
which is like insane to me that people are like, well, that's not how they were turned out in Korra, and it's like, well, they've lived so much since then, and they were like children, and they didn't really know who they were, because like if I talk to myself as a child right now, I'd be like, oh my god, you're like
a completely different person.
Yeah. You wanted to do completely different things with your life. Like you had no conception of like what anything was.
Yeah.
And that is being a child.
Yeah.
I'm not faulting anyone for that.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, unfortunately, because it's been so long and so many people have ruminated on like what they fan cast their lives
as. Absolutely.
Like doing anything like that now would piss a good amount of people off because like they've had time to sit and like write their own fan fiction about like they did as adults and as, you know, having children and growing up and stuff like that like now it's like, god, you're kind of, you would just shoot yourself in the foot, honestly. Like so many people would be so mad at you.
Right. And even then it's like some people only use the animated stuff as source material, but then there's like comics and there's books and there's other things that have come out since then that either people don't have access to, don't want to pay for, or just don't acknowledge, which is like totally fine. And that's how it is. And that's how fan fiction works, where it's just like, well, I think this would happen. And that's the beauty of what we do.
Yeah.
So the fic that I read for today is a one shot. It was about 8,000 words, 8.1K words. It's called Avatar The Last Airbender, Flashes of Fire. It is by The Pyromancer, _Pyromancer. And this is a story about Azula, who I find a very interesting character.
Yes.
You were trying to think of who that was.
Well, right. Well, because, like, okay.
it's been a minute.
I'm going to be honest with you. In terms of that, I was like, is she the one I hate? Because I...
Most likely, yes.
No. It's not. I hate May.
May-May? Is it May-May or is it May?
It's just May.
May-May's from Full Metal.
Yes. But I was just like, I was sitting here being like, Sue, is that the one I hate? No, it's not. I hate May. I don't know why. When I was watching the show at the time, I like hated her character. I hated everything about her.
I didn't like her when I first met her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the point of that, to be like, well, they just follow Azula around. And then, of course, towards the end, they, like, gain consciousness. And they're like, yeah, oh, we're not the good people.
Right. I loved Ty Lee, because Ty Lee always was just like, they were just bullying that poor girl. Like,
they were. She just wanted to be a little circus rat. And they should have let her.
They should have just let her. They should have let her stay in the circus. But, yeah, when it came to May, it was like, I don't know. I have, like, very, it's very difficult for me to like a character when it was just like, oh no, you grew up rich and your family just didn't pay attention to you? God, that sucks. Like, comparatively to, like, Zuko's character or Aang's character, right. Like, I was just like, I just, what? I'm very confused. Even, like, Azula, where it was, like, you're comparing, like, May and Azula, of, like, Azula's just, like, her mother, like, thought she was a monster, where, like, May's mom just, like, kind of ignored her. It was, like, very different. Yeah. And then her, like, I guess, like, character growth, as you would say, where she was like, I'm my own sentient person, and she had that bullshit line of just like, I like Zuko more than I'm afraid of you, and it's like, whatever.
Okay.
Like, that came a little too late for me, and I didn't see enough of that change in her, which, like, watching something like Zuko's redemption arc,
I mean, but it's also hard when it's like, they're the side characters.
I know.
And they're the side characters to the main villain, so it's kind of hard to be like, womp, I know. Womp.
But, like, even at, like, season 3, where, and I guess, like, these are gonna be Avatar The Last Airbender spoilers, it's a show that's been out for decades, when her and, like, Zuko got together, and she was still, like, so fucking mean to him, yeah. And I was like, girlie, that's, like, you've wanted this man since before you've been alive, like, what is, you're so mean to him, so, like, I just couldn't get with her character in the slightest. Where, like, Azula, I didn't like her, clearly. She was like, you're supposed to not like her. But, like, I found her very interesting when it came to, like, her psychosis and, like, the way that she kind of became her father's favorite because her mother just thought she was such a monster, again, in comparison to her brother, who she was like, you're my sweet little boy.
Right.
So yeah, I found her a very fascinating character, but the face that I made was like, is that the one that I hated?
Okay.
And then I was like,
because even I had to think about it.
Yeah.
It was like reading through tags and stuff. It was like, it's been a minute since I've watched anything Avatar The Last Airbender. So it was kind of difficult to like get there, but thinking back on Azula, she is a very interesting character.
Yeah.
And she's one that's like, played very well, voiced very well, and I can't remember the voice actress's name at this
moment
in time.
She's done so many things. She's done, like, I can picture her face in my head.
Yeah, me too.
She was in a bunch of Scooby-Doo stuff, Fairly Odd Parents, The Grim Adventures of Bill and Mandy, The Loud House, Danny Phantom. Ooh, I love Danny Phantom.
She was like the 2000s, like late 90s, 2000s. She's done so much.
She's done so much.
Highly talented. Very good at what she does. I think she really sold that character.
Oh, she's Daphne in the Scooby-Doo stuff.
Yeah. She's been Daphne for, like years and years and
years. Yeah, she's been Daphne for, like, ever. Daphne. I love with the Scooby-Doo stuff, it'll be, like, Daphne Blake, Auntie Makina, local woman number 2. Like, they just have her doing a bunch of shit.
No, because I started watching Crystal Cove, and I could recognize her in the background, and I was like, you know, fair enough. Like, well, I understand that.
Oh, she was Mandy in Bill and Mandy?
Uh-huh. She's done so many things. She's, like, a staple in the voiceover community, voice acting community. And she does incredible, incredible work. And she's highly recognizable at this point in time just because of the sheer amount of roles she's had throughout her year. But Azula is a character that, like, she sold. And she sold with her whole heart. One of the greatest voice actresses of our time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of, like, children's TV shows. Like, if you were alive in the early 2000s, you know her. You've heard her voice.
Yeah, 100%. She is your child.
She kind of is.
Yeah.
So again, Azula, this piece, this fanfic, feels kind of like a character study. Yeah, because it is, like, again, it takes place after the events of Avatar The Last Airbender, so...
And she gets, like, put in a loony bin or something. She goes crazy at the last episode.
She goes crazy, and so this actually takes place 10 years after she gets put in the loony bin.
Oh, okay.
So the fic starts out with, like, she is in a prison cell, and then a bunch of guards come up. And at first they start teasing her, and she makes no motion to, like, talk to them, and the main jailer tells the two guards to, like, be quiet, and, like, today's her lucky day, it's the day that she gets out. And so before she gets out, they, like, feed her and, like, heal her enough, and basically, like, any last requests of the prison before you get sent out with literally nothing, because you have nothing to your name. And the only thing that she requests is that she has her head completely shaved, like her hair completely shaven off, which I think is fitting for her. The whole point of like shaving her head is like, I'm not the person that I was. Mm-hmm. I'm starting fresh. Mm-hmm. I'm not.
I am not who I was.
Yep, we're leaving that person in the cell behind. Yep. I look completely different. I feel completely different.
I don't know who that 14-year-old was.
Never met her in my life.
Never met her in my life. It's also crazy to think that's like they were so young.
That's she was like I was so mind-boggling. 14. Even when I started reading the Percy Jackson books again, I was like, he was 12 yeah. when this all fucking started. That's insane.
Yep.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
So it's like you locked up a 14-year-old.
Because even thinking prison. About Pokemon, it's like, I'm going to send my 10-year-old out into the country where he can walk wherever he goes.
Who allowed us?
Yeah, and this 10-year-old also defeats the Elite Four.
Yeah.
And becomes the Pokemon champion mm-hmm. of your nation. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But little me was like, yippee! I can't wait!
Yeah, but like, who locked up this 14-year-old in prison? Like, Jesus.
They only did it for 10 years, according to this fic.
Thank God.
So again, she shaves her head. The whole mindset is like starting fresh, starting new, don't want to do it. They fed her pretty well before she left, and they healed her just enough to where she isn't necessarily malnourished, but now she's sent out with nothing. They also mentioned they're like, oh, Prince Zuko is in a nearby town, and we've made him aware of your release. Mm-hmm. If you wish to go visit him, he's invited you out to dinner to talk about things. And she denies it. She does not want to go to the town. She does not want to meet with Zuko. She's like, that is behind me. I don't want any engagement with my family of sure. any kind. Like, I just don't want that. I want to start fresh.
I mean, I think that's fair.
I also think that's fair.
Especially seeing to, like, as her brother who became Fire Lord right after the father's powers were stripped could have easily come and gotten her out of prison
and maybe
didn't
crazy
you know so I understand I do
I can understand
babe
that.
I get it.
So as soon as she steps foot out of the prison, she picks a direction and she walks.
Okay.
And she keeps walking until it turns night, and then she passes out, and then she wakes up and she just continues walking.
Okay.
And she does this for about 2 days until she finds civilization, and the civilization that she does find is just like, it's not even a town. A town is too glorious. It's like a couple of huts.
Sure.
Together. It's like a farmstead.
Yeah.
Like, it's not too much.
It's not even a village. Like,
no, not really. And they're like a couple different families hanging around in each of the huts. But again, it's not anything crazy. They're all farmers. So they all just kind of, you know, work on their own things. And so there's a young woman that approaches her first and quietly asks her, like, oh, what brings you into town? You know, like,
we don't get a lot of strangers.
Yeah, like, just trying to, like, get to know you. And she's not malicious in any way. She's genuinely just like, oh, what brings you into town? You know, like, that kind of thing. And Azula gives very vague answers. She's just like, oh, I'm traveling from the east.
Do you think at this point, it's been 10 years, would people even still recognize her? Well, she shaved her head, but, like,
she shaved her head, and we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Because even as she's talking, that's why she's giving vague answers, because she's like, even if they do recognize anything about me, like, right. I would rather that they don't.
Right.
And as Azula's, like, giving these vague answers, a man from the village approaches, and he starts to get really pushy about things. He's like, where are you from? And she's like, well, I'm traveling from the east. And he's like, okay, that's not what I asked. Where are you from? And she's like, okay, I'm from the prison. I just got out of prison 2 days ago. And many of the town folks hear this, and they're like,
many, the five.
Yeah, all the few around. That are there. But obviously, they all take this as, like, a bad thing. Like, a convict is in their town. Like, a bad person is in their town. And the young woman starts yelling at all of them and reprimands them, because they're just like, this person just got out of prison. They're trying to better their lives, better themselves. How can all of you talk to them like this?
Slight girl.
But the way that the young woman is referring to Azula is referring to her as a young man, because they've mistaken her for a boy for shaving her head.
Damn.
Yeah. Cool. And Azula doesn't say anything about it. She just kind of lets it happen, because she's like, you know what? It's fine. I'm not going to be here that long. I'm just going to let it happen. And as this young woman is, like, reprimanding them, she turns to Azula and is like, I have an extra room in my house if you would like to stay with me for the night, since you're just passing through. And the man that started to push the questions was like, this is fucking ridiculous. I can't believe that you would. Not like cursing like that.
No,
man,
yeah.
You get the gist of it. Where he's like, mad. Yeah, he's like, how can I let a young man sit in a room with you and your younger sister all by yourselves? And the da 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 da. And Azula, she, last straw, she's like, I'm a woman. And she completely takes off her clothes. She's like,
she does the whole she's the man thing.
Yes. She like takes off her clothes. She's like, I'm a woman.
I know there's not much here, but they are my titties.
Yeah. And so the young woman immediately like picks up the cloak off the ground and like puts it back on her. And she's like, okay, you didn't really need to do that. But like, we understand now. And then the young woman turns to the man and is like, we're fine. We're fine. See, woman, fine. Are you okay with that? Fine.
I'm not dangerous anymore, am I?
Ooh. And so Azula accepts the kind offer to stay at this person's place. And they introduce themselves. And I didn't write their names in my notes because they were, I believe, Chinese in nature. Mm. And my pronunciation would be very far off. Because even when I like tried to look it up on how to enunciate it, I was like, huh? I don't think I can do that. Uh-huh. So the older sister, we can call G. And the younger sister, I believe the name started with the letter U.
Okay.
So G and U.
Okay.
So they stay up for a little bit of time and talk to Azula. And it's nothing like, where are you from? It's just to like, are you feeling okay? Mm-hmm. Like, how can we help? You know, that kind of thing. And it again, they don't talk for very long. And then Azula goes to her room and passes out. And in the morning, the three of them all decide to eat together. And Yu decides to ask what Azula's name is. And Azula gives them a fake one.
Sure.
Sure.
Because, I mean, probably if you gave the real name, they'd know, oh, wasn't that the former princess?
Right. Yeah. But Azula accidentally gives them a boy's name. And they're like, isn't that a boy's name? And then she's like, well, my father wanted a boy. So when I was born, he was very disappointed in me. And, like, things went from there. And they're like, oh, okay. You don't need to explain. Okay, we understand. No family trauma. We understand. Yep, we got it. And the name that she gave them was La Ten. And so the two offer their home for as long as Azula would like. They're just like, for you to get healthy and get better.
Yeah.
And you can leave whenever you want, or you can stay however you long. We just want your like strength to be there before you leave. And so Azula decides to stay for two weeks.
Okay.
We skip ahead 2 weeks in time, and she has eaten well. She's put on more weight. She's been able to get her strength back up, which she's very happy with. I forgot to mention that while she was in the prison, they did strip her of her bending powers.
Yeah, I kind of figured that they were going to do that. Yeah.
That was a little thing that I forgot to mention. So she doesn't have the ability to firebend at this point in time, and won't ever again be able to firebend.
Sure.
So after these 2 weeks, she's lying in bed and she just can't sleep. For some reason. Mm-hmm. She's staring at the ceiling and she just like, her thoughts are racing. She has like 1,000 different things on her mind. And the biggest question is like, what am I doing here? She doesn't know what exactly that means. She doesn't know why she's asking herself that. It could be in relation to like, what am I doing in this town? What am I doing in this room? What am I doing in life? What am I doing in general? You know, like there could be 1,000 avenues that that question could go down to. And she doesn't know which one to explore first. So rather than thinking about it necessarily, she gets up and she starts running through like old drills that her dad would do with her. And she didn't realize that Yu, the younger sister, was standing in the doorframe like watching. And as Azula finishes, Yu is like, oh my god, that was amazing.
Right.
Where did you learn that?
Just muscle memory.
And she's just like, like, I was in the fire navy.
Okay.
And
not a lie
necessarily, but Yu decides to call her out, and she's like, listen, I feel like you're lying. And Azula's like, well, I'm not lying. And she's like, well, it feels like you've been lying this entire fucking time that you've been here. And they go back and forth like children, and it's until Azula cracks and she explains that she doesn't want to lie to herself anymore, so she's not lying to you, the younger one. But you was like, well, you are kind of lying to yourself still in a way. Like, you just don't know that yet. But I think it's apparent to everyone in the village that you're lying to some capacity. And in Azula's head, she's like, okay. She starts to become angry at herself internally because she's like, I don't want to believe that I am alone and weak, but what have I become?
Right.
If not alone and weak after all of this time.
Yeah. No firebending powers.
Again, the younger one keeps pushing as Azula starts thinking about all of this. And Yu is just like, you know, sometimes we give ourselves half truths and try to convince us that's the whole truth. But it's not. It's only a portion of it. And you can't lie to yourself. That's just not something you should be able to do, especially if you want to get better. This causes Azula her anger. She has not been angry in a very long time. Sure. But the anger starts to build in a way that it hasn't built in a very, very long time. And so rather than like yelling or getting violent in nature, she just packs her things and she starts to walk out of the house because she's like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this right now. So then G, the older sister, runs up and tries to confront Azula, and as she's trying to leave the front door, and she's telling her that although they don't know each other very well, G knows that leaving and running away from her problems isn't going to solve them. And that is something that was evident from the day that they met, that she was running from something or trying to get away from something. And while she has gotten physically better since she's been there, nothing has changed mentally in a way that is prosperous. So Azula exclaims that she doesn't know what else to do. She has nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing to her name. She has literally nothing. So what, she's just going to keep going until she finds something that's worth settling down for. And G tries to reason with her that they both know that La Ten isn't her real name, that they've been lying to her for 2 weeks. But they didn't want to push it because G and you both know that this wasn't their real name.
Right.
That obviously they caught her in a lie, but they were like, this person obviously wants to keep something to themselves. That's totally okay. That's fine. And Azula doesn't understand why. She doesn't understand why they would continue to be nice to her when they knew nothing about her.
Sure.
That Azula has only fed them lies, and yet they still continue to want to help her. In Azula's eyes, they are just weak country people who know nothing about fighting and know nothing about tactic. And they know nothing about being a warrior. So in her eyes, she's like, why should I take your word for anything? Again, the anger keeps building slowly over time. And so G tells Azula that she's going to fight her and she's going to beat her. And if she beats her, Azula's going to have to stay.
I don't really know what Azula could do. She does no longer have her bending powers.
And G keeps pushing it and says that she knows that she is not who she used to be, but she's going to keep being stuck in her own head about what she used to be, and she's not going to make any progress forward.
So she knows.
Or she doesn't, but she knows that something's bothering Azula that's causing her to run. And like, doesn't know exactly, but again, kind of has pieced things together in a way that is like...
She's like, I don't know exactly, but you're running from somewhere and you don't want to be who you used to be because you're using a fake name.
And you shaved your head. Right. And you just got out of prison. If that's even true, we don't know.
At that point, I'd be like, you're telling the truth. I don't know what kind of fucked up person... I just got out of prison instead of just being like, I just started walking.
Right. And so to that, Azula throws down her things and gets ready to fight. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, then beat me. Beat me in a fight. Fair and square. I cannot bend. Do it. Although Azula does not start the fight. It is G who throws the first punch.
Sure.
And so within the first couple of strikes, G knocks down Azula to the ground and she gets up pretty quickly. And then they continue to exchange blows. But Azula knows that this is useless for G to do. She knows that she's garnered enough strength and enough anger.
The anger really is something.
Absolutely beat G.
She's like, I'm just giving you baby passes right now.
No, and the thing is, as they continue to strike back and forth, Azula's anger continues to grow and grow, and it feels familiar in a way to her that is comforting because she hasn't felt this in a really long time, because she's been so passive for a very long time. And she puts all of that anger into one final strike and completely knocks G onto the ground, causing her to bleed and nearly be unconscious. And that's when Yu steps in and cries out for her to stop and cries out for Azula, not by name, but just to help her sister because she's the one who knocked her on the ground. She just wants someone to help that her older sister who just got beat the fuck up.
She kind of asked for it. Like, kinda. I'm sorry.
And then Azula stares back at them and just... is like back in her old self where she's just like, why would I ever help you? You have done nothing but betray my trust. You have done nothing but make a mockery of me. And so she picks up her things and she leaves.
Oh, shut up.
And that is the end of the
Shut the fuck up. No, it's not.
No, it is. I thought that was very interesting. It is 8,000 words. There's a lot more dialogue that happens, and I do really like the way that the dialogue is written.
I'm gonna make you do. You're gonna get into dialogue one of these days.
No, 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 no. But yeah, I just, like, I was expecting something totally different. Yeah. Especially when people are like, oh, the insane character gets passive, and then they're like, cute little farm life.
And you're just like, oh my god.
And that's kind of what I was expecting.
They've retired to the countryside.
I know, that's what I was expecting. No. And then, again, every time the anger got mentioned, I was like,
the anger.
Where are we going with this?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, once it was towards the end, and it was like, oh, this feels familiar. Oh, so this is a bad thing. The anger is a bad thing, and we let it get to a level that it shouldn't be at anymore.
I mean, even the doing the training that her dad used to put her through was very like, is that the last time you felt stability? Like, is that, you know? Yikes.
So we're always going to be the same person and not anyone different or new or
better. That's the thing. If I were to see another storyline from, like, anybody, I would like to see it from Azula, because I feel like she could do so many things and they would probably be equally valid, you know what I mean? Where if it's like the ideas of the original writers of, like, does she just stay the same person forever? Like, is she so deeply broken from the way that she was raised that she's just like that forever? Or, you know, was she just born that way mixed with the way that she was raised? Or does she have it in her, like her brother, to have a sort of redemption and, like, better her ways?
Right.
Because, yeah, she was the one who was just, like, hauled off to jail at the end. Or, like, even her dad, like, he lost his bending powers, but I don't remember, like, them hauling him to jail. He was just kind of like, you will never bend again. But it was just like, they just threw this 14-year-old, like, she was already mentally unwell. God knows what happened when you just sent her to prison.
And it's, I don't know. Azula, again, is, like, a weirdly interesting character where it's just like, at 14 years old, you were that fucking insane.
Uh-huh.
You were that unwell.
Which makes you think that it was part, what do they call it? Nature and part nurture, right? Like, maybe she was already born a certain way, but the way she was raised, like, only exacerbated it.
Potentially. Yeah.
We're like, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like that'd be the only one that I would be really interested in seeing the way that think that her character would be. Like, the way...
Yeah.
Like, everyone else, I'm like, yeah, that'd be fun, but, like, I'm not really, like, really wondering all too much. Like,
I mean, even with this, like, I thought it was going to go
in a different direction,
and that was based off of my expectation of, like, other characters or, like, other things like that. And it, for me, it's always a pleasant surprise when things don't go my way or the way that I think that they're going. So, weirdly, I liked that she hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And that it just took time for things to build back up again for her to be like, okay, we're back in the saddle.
Well, yeah, they're not, like, redoing a bunch of rehabilitation in that prison. God forbid. No, you know.
We saw what Uncle Iroh went through.
What has she really done, like, in order to, other than just be able to think for the past 10 years about no one from her family has ever come to visit her in prison?
Yeah.
And have hatred for the Avatar. You know what I mean? Like, she hasn't really done much. Yeah, that would be really fascinating. I'm just like, even just to watch, like, because I do, like, from time to time reading from, like, a villain's point of view or, like, a truly, like, morally gray kind of person, and you're just like, what would you do? You're free. They've let you go.
Right. And without the bending,
it's
like, what truly are you gonna do now? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially with the thought process of, like, she's not gonna go visit her brother, not gonna take revenge in that sort of way, so what are you going to do? Like, just kind of be a hermit the rest of your life?
I don't know. Based off of the way that the ending of this fic, it didn't feel like that. But I also, like, where would you go and what would you do?
Just keep walking.
Right.
Till you reach, like, the ocean or something.
I guess.
Because, like, I think the easy answer would be, like, oh, she gets out. She goes, gonna go to Zuko and get revenge or whatever for throwing her in prison or whatever. But it's, like, in this fic, she's just like, no, I'm just gonna walk. You're just gonna walk?
I mean, what else is there to do when you get out of prison? Especially if your family members don't want to, like, see you or pick you up. You just kind of gotta go.
Mm-hmm. She's fascinating. And I feel like she was the only one, where her character left off very open-ended. I'm just like, huh?
Right, because even in Korra,
they
make no mention of Azula.
Nope.
Which, like, I can understand. Again,
history
is written by the victors. So it is hard to know what happened. But when I saw it, I was like,
yeah.
Ooh, I would like to see someone's interpretation of, like, what Azula would do or go through.
Yeah.
So, I liked it quite a lot.
I think it's interesting because I think she's the only one who didn't even have, like, a crumb. I feel like the other two, May, I think there was, like, a kind of a crumb that she and Zuko got married, and the Fire Queen is, like, their daughter because she looks very similar to her, blah, 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 whatever. And then I think there was something with Ty Lee too. So, like, I think she's the only one that's just like,
we truly have no idea what happened to her.
Like, what happened to her? Where is she?
Or was she just like a pure lunatic for the rest of her life?
Was she just in prison for the rest of her life? Like,
I don't know.
Thrashing and screaming.
Yeah. I no idea. Damn. Hard to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when it's a 14-year-old.
God, that's like reminding me that she was 14, like, kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
It's bad.
Yeah.
She did not get the love and attention she needed.
No.